Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Richard Rossi Live. We're so excited to have some guests that you've met before on a prior show. Susie Singer Carter and her partner, Don Prius, who did an amazing job editing on this film, My Mom and the Girl. And we had them on before when they were raising money. Well, they sure, you know, used the money very wisely and accomplished the goal. They finished the goal, and my wife and I got to see the film starring Valerie Harper and Liz Torres, and it was a fantastic film. And we'll be back with them on an update and how you can see the film at the L.A. Shorts Festival. And Liz Torres is also supposed to be calling in here, Emmy-winning actress. So we'll be back with them in about 20 seconds at Richard Rossi Live. Well, congratulations to our guests, Susie and Don. You did it. What a screening, that first kind of cast and crew screening we got to see. It was so great. Congratulations on getting to that big goal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was like a big old wedding and having a baby at the same time.
Yeah. Yes, yes. In fact, you got the cake at the wedding, we got those cool, I still have one of those cool cookies with the picture, My Mom and the Girl. I probably should eat that pretty soon, I guess. But
well,
and people saw it and said, how did they get that picture on the cookie like that? That was great.
I made those.
You made those.
I did. I made those. I had to, listen, we were out of budget. Budget gone.
Wow.
Budget gone, and listen, this is a, you know, I'm a Jewish girl. I like to throw big parties, and it's got to have something fantastic, you know, something memorable. You got to have something memorable, and we literally had a cookie factory going for two nights before the screening, and it actually was good because it kept me focused on something else besides my nerves.
Mm. Oh, you were so cute that night, Susie. You had this look of excitement, yet, you know, kind of nervousness. And I just wanted to just say, Susie, it's great. Yes, it's going to be great. And why was it great? Sitting to my wife and I's right was Don Wells from Gilligan's Island. And then afterwards we hung out with the Woodstock legend Melanie and also some of Valerie Harper's, who has the lead in the film. Some of her old Mary Tyler Moore folks were there, Ed Asner, Donna Mills. I mean, this film, that must have been so great for you both to just see all these wonderful artists that have given to us through the years come out and support your vision. I mean, that must have been really, really a great feeling, huh?
It was
kind of surreal.
It's kind of everything you hope for. And you don't expect it to happen, and to have such a lovely response and such a visceral response that we received, you know, even from, you know, and Don and I have been lucky to work with Ed Asner one time before, and he's literally probably one of the nicest men I've met in Hollywood. And, you know, there's nothing fake about him at all. He's very forthright, and he was so effusive about the movie afterwards, and you know, as were a lot of people that I know were speaking from the heart. So that was very gratifying for both of us.
Yeah, and Dawn, I have to say, your editing, I know I mentioned this before, but I was so impressed with how you have this rhythm to it. And, you know, my wife commented that you know, my wife at first is just so depressed about Alzheimer's and people we've known that have had Alzheimer's, and she said that you handled this, the two of you interject this rhythm where we had some laughs, yet it was serious. I mean, it was something that left you feeling good, and you know, you showed those moments of your mother being lucid, your mother who's suffered Alzheimer's, and Valerie Harper played her, and you know, what a great rhythm. We were very impressed with the editing there, Dawn.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you. And so much of that came from the material itself, from the way it was written and obviously the way Susie directed it also. And it was a completely, I mean, we hunkered in that editing room for, I think it was about 4 straight weeks or right after, I mean, directly after we finished shooting. And sometimes it was like a war, it was a love fest, but it was amazing because it was such a collaborative effort. And again, the material was there, and that's what made it possible. And even when it wasn't, you know, the challenges of a short, very low budget film are that sometimes you have to compromise a little bit. There was very little compromise on the set, but when there was, Susie found a way in the editing room to make it work, and sometimes better than what if we had shot it the way we had planned. So, again, thank you, but it was certainly a very collaborative effort.
Mm. Yeah, it sure was a powerful film. And as we were entering the theater or waiting for it to start, your mother's music, Norma Holzer, who is the subject of the film, diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I think she's 82, Susie?
She just turned 83, and so it's been about 10 years she's had it now.
Wow. Well, her singing was so great, you know, that just set the mood. She sings all these beautiful standards, and those of us that just love those, that great American songbook. And so this is very essential to the film and the kind of the ethos of this film. So tell us, you need about 10,000 in music rights just to be totally clear. Will that get you pretty much able to use this music?
Yes.
Yeah, the 10,000 is basically, that covers basically a year of domestic and international music rights that would get us through the next part of the festival season. Then it would have to be renewed again after if we wanted to go further. So yeah, we are in the process of doing part two on our fundraise in order so we can get this out there so people can see it. We're going ahead regardless, but yes, with that, and then the festival costs, of course, are remarkable when you join many, many festivals. But
I found you know, as a filmmaker and my filmmaker friends, that most of us, I don't know why, I think it's so hard just to make a movie. It's such a major accomplishment that most of us don't think about the fact of just the cost of doing all the festivals. And so you end up, you know, at that point, you're like, oh, my God, we didn't really budget in for all this, you know, going to these different cities and fees. And I have no doubt that this film will be a darling. And, you know, most filmmakers get rejected from most they submit to. I believe you'll be accepted in, you know, most, if not almost, you know, all. I mean, I just feel that the doors are going to open for this film. And at the L.A. Shorts Festival is the first chance to see this at the Regal Theater. If they just, we have a link on the radio site at the bottom, or they could just Google L.A. Shorts Festival, and that's going to be in September, right?
Yes, next week. It's September 7th. It's a Wednesday at 7:45, and the tickets, like you said, are online. And we're super excited. It was very exciting for us because we had missed the deadline to submit because this is all new, this whole festival circuit for us. And I sent out, this is for all you filmmakers. I'm just giving you a tip. I sent out a tweet to LA Shorts and I said, "Hey LA Shorts, I know we missed the party, but if you have a second, take a look. You might like this film." And sure enough, they got a hold of us in a day or so and said we'd like to program you.
Wow, that is fantastic. You know,
yeah,
you're
so
a
never,
believer. You
never
don't,
say
you don't,
never.
Yeah. Don't take a no, as they say. I was really thinking also that was quite something that you played yourself, basically, Susie. I mean, you know, I know some therapists, they do what's called psychodrama, and they say to relive something through drama, you can get this kind of view of it or this insight of it, and they have you reenact things and everything. I was thinking, watching you, you did such a great job acting, and you essentially were kind of reliving this, being yourself with Valerie Harper as your mom, right?
Yeah, it was really, you know, I did the the first scene that I saw, I didn't want to do it. I did this kicking and screaming because I gave up acting quite a while ago. And I think at the end of the day, I got convinced from people that I love and respect and said, Susie, nobody can play this better than you. So, you know, and then having this basically be my directorial debut as well. And I thought, well, am I nuts? I'm taking on too much. But at the end of the day, sometimes, you know, you have to do something right, you have to do it yourself. So I took it on. And the first scene was very, you know, sort of light and airy, as you saw, that which was the morning scene. And then at night, we did which was the last scene of the shoot, was that very, very emotional scene in the hallway with my mom. And that was one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. And and at the same time, what a beautiful memory I have. And Valerie channeled my mother so beautifully. And it was magical. It was a magical moment.
Yeah,
for me.
It's really
and I think
profound.
It's, I think
it was very profound, Susie, to, you know, the fact that I think she loses it and swears at you and everything, and yet you show her the unconditional love. And that ability to kind of transcend what the person's doing and saying, that was such a, you know, powerful, powerful insight. You know, there's a prayer that I say sometimes when people, it comes from the recovery movement, when people are mean or whatever, and it says something like, you know, help me understand this person's a sick person, and, you know, save me from staying angry at them. And, you know, it's something along those lines. But you showed that in the film that you, how hurtful, you know, to have your mom blow up at you and, you know, say mean things to you. But it was like you took the wound, and then you had the ability to transcend it. And it was very profound.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
That's the message. I was just going to say that for us is the message, is that what I learned through that tumultuous year with my mommy, you know, and watching Erlanda, her amazing caregiver, we helped each other. We taught each other, because we both, none of us had gone through and lived with anybody with Alzheimer's. So, you know, I learned from Erlanda to she was such a great, strong pillar and foundation. And as you know, there's that moment where my mom slaps her, and it did, you know, she didn't miss a beat. She knew where it was coming from. She knew that moment would pass and the door would open back to my mom. And I learned that from Erlanda. Erlanda's an amazing soul. So, you know, it taught me that to just keep trying to get that other door open, the door to that person that we know. So, yes.
That's profound. And Don, you were going to say something on that.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. First of all, to watch, you know, that opening scene between Susie and her mom, because I watched it in person live many years ago, and to have her kind of relive that again, I know was very difficult. But I think that, again, finding a way to deal with it, because there's no real book on how to do it, because each case is different. So you can't just read a book and say, oh, if they say this, do that. It doesn't work that way. And to watch the way Susie has progressed in the way she dealt with it, and we have home movies that Susie shot, a lot of home movies at the time, to kind of, you know, get a feel for what was going on. And you see her progress during that as she learned different ways of dealing with it. But there's no way to just say, oh, just do this, just say this, and it works, because it doesn't. And I think that this shows that, but it also shows that there's a light there, and it's not all dark. It's not, you know, pretty much every Alzheimer's movie that's ever been out there is so dark, and for good reason. It's a very, very difficult thing to deal with, but there's also those moments of joy, and that's what we wanted to show in this film, that for every dark moment, there is a moment of joy, and that's hopefully what we've attained here. So I think that opening scene really showed that, you know, you...
there is no way to, one way to deal with it, and you have to take it moment to moment and find the light, and that's hopefully what we've achieved here, and that's why we want to get this message out.
Well, you certainly did achieve it, and achieve also what people say, that it's these independent passion films that are a labor of love that hit these issues and you know, really speak to us, you know, beyond the you know, kind of a the you know, the big budget films, the popcorn movies don't touch these kind of things. I mean, this film stayed with me. I go to the Blockbusters and I kind of tend to forget them in about a week or so, but this film stayed with me, and it made me think, to be personal, my own dad was bipolar and would be abusive at times verbally and sometimes physically when he was not taking his meds, or manic as we were growing up and things. And this film, I related to it so much about how a parent can really wound you. I mean, this is your mother, Susie, saying these things. And yet, you know, the love is greater. I remember when my dad was, you know, abusive and acting out and left home. And when he left, I said, "Dad, whatever happens, I want you to know I love you." And he eventually, when he got stabilized and came back, he said that just, he couldn't get that out of his head, you know, that I, as a kid, no matter how he treated us, said, "I love you, Dad." And I felt that with your mom, that you just kept giving your mom love, and then she came back, and those lucid moments returned. And I thought it was so profound.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you for saying that. Thank you. That makes it all worthwhile, and that's the whole reason for doing this, because as my mom says at the end of that first opening scene, and she, you know, comes out of that haze that she's in and says, "Oh my God, you're my baby."
Oh, that was
you
so
gotta
sweet.
And
I could tell you there was some there wasn't a dry eye. There was a lot of Kleenex coming out, and you know, another thing I got to tell you, Don and Susie, about this is when I go to the theater now, unfortunately, so many people, they, you know, they're playing with their phones, they're looking at their watch, they're, you know, see the little glowing rectangles, which takes me out of it. I get so upset because I want to see the light from that screen. And this film, everyone was so in it the whole time. And, you know, Einstein said time's relative, and this film proved it, because I've seen other short films and the 20 minutes feels like 3 hours. And your film, when it ended, we were all like, we were all like upset. We wanted more of these characters, this wonderful kind of triumvirate. You had your mom, you had Orlando, the maid that was like the angel watching out after her, played so well by Liz Torres. You had Harmony Santana, and I don't know, these characters, you did such a great job. You know, my dad was a jazz guitarist, and we used to play the bars when I was a kid. I played guitar with him, and he always always tell me the maxim, a good performer always exits the stage disappointing the audience that wants more. You don't play on and on until they're like, "When's that guy going to leave the stage?" Well, this film did that. You know, we want more of these three characters. That was the feeling everybody had.
Oh,
thank you.
Awesome.
Thank
we did,
you so much.
I have to say, we did hear that from quite a few people, so that's very awesome. And that again, you know, tribute to my mother, tribute to Erlanda Lopez, tribute to this anonymous woman, the girl that my mother met, who mm-hmm. was incredible. And, you know, one day I hope that she sees this film and you know, comes out and says, "Hey, that was me," because I would love to meet her. So
that would be cool. Was that in Los Angeles or back in New York?
Here in Los Angeles.
L.A.
Still
L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember the L.A. locales, but I remembered, I think your mom, was she one time in New York, or am I remembering wrong?
No, you're right. My mother was born in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and then moved here when she was 16. So,
okay.
Yeah, so she was here. She went to Fairfax High School and grew up all in Los Angeles. But then Erlanda's home, where the dinner takes place, is East LA, close to Boyle Heights, which is why they ended up in Mariachi Plaza.
Wow. The actual.
Well, I tell you, her angels were really protecting her as she ventured out. And how did you feel post screening? It was like giving birth. I mean,
was there a postpartum feeling after, or what did you, or just a feeling of, wow, we did it? What were you feeling, Don?
Well, I mean, certainly, it felt like, well, it really didn't feel like I was giving birth. I wouldn't know what that was, but it was, there was so much. We are the only two people, other than Susie's daughters, who had seen this film. We had no idea. We were working in such a bubble that we had no idea how it was going to be received. And, you know, we even watched it. We went to the theater before to just screen the projection file just to see if it, you know, looked good in here. And we just sat in that theater by ourselves, which was amazing. We just, you know, we just sat in the back row, and that was actually very emotional. But when those other, you know, seats get filled and you have people who have never seen this, don't know anything about it other than seeing the trailer maybe, and to hear that, to get the response that we got, and consistent, and you know, when people, you know, you go to something, it's your friends or whatever, and they tell you how wonderful it is, and you can tell when it's the cliche, you know, thing that come out. But this was so much different, and it was so exhilarating to hear basically the same, and so many people said, like what you said, wait a minute, that's it? We want to see where they go. We heard that almost to a person. And we knew that the reception that we got was real, and that there's nothing that could be more gratifying after all that work. And so I can't put a word on how it felt other than exhilarating and relief. And now we're going to take it out to the world who has no tie to us, who hasn't seen us, who doesn't know us. I mean, there were a lot of people there who did not know us. But this will be a true measure of how people feel about it, and we hope they feel the same way.
Mm. Yeah, was it interesting to see how it played to an audience? Did you get were the laughs or the reactions where you thought they'd be, or were there any like, oh, they enjoyed that and chuckled more than I thought they would? Was it interesting to see how it played with such a large group?
Well, it was a relief when there were laughs, so that was great.
Yeah, I was so happy. I was so happy they laughed, and I was so happy that they understood our humor, because some of it was just family inside humor. You know, the whole thing, you know, with my mother, kind of, you know, she's very mischievous and bold, and the whole thing with the valet. You know, I'm very wealthy. I'm just telling you. You know, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, I loved her flirting with the young guy. That was great.
Uh-huh. And that's my mom to this day, by the way, to this day. So, yeah. It was gratifying.
Yeah, and we got a few places where it's like we got a laugh, but it was bigger than we thought it would be, or in a place that was very subtle and we got a reaction. It's hard to tell on the dramatic parts. You don't hear a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But so to hear it on the parts that were supposed to be funny, and they were, was really gratifying.
Well, I met a guy, I think he was from E.T., and they did a nice special, and those of you listening can Google Valerie Harper Entertainment Tonight, My Mom and the Girl. They, I think, talked about how this was her first lead role post her cancer diagnosis, and that was a real nice piece. They showed great clips from the film in that piece, too.
Oh my God! Did they? It was wonderful. We were. That was another thing that was unbelievable. We thought, wow, we did good. We got Entertainment Tonight here. This like it was like a little mini premiere. It felt very. It was very exciting. You know, when like Don said, we literally were in a black room editing and, you know, arguing and not arguing and redoing and, you know, not knowing, like you said, we were in a bubble. So it was really nice to come outside and realize what a wonderful reception we were getting. So it was very, very heartwarming. And yes, there was a lot of postpartum.
Well, to get the music, should people just Google Indiegogo, My Mom and the Girl? Do you have the phase two up yet?
It's Indiegogo, and you just go to Indiegogo, My Mom and the Girl, take two.
Take two,
take two. And you can you know, donate there, and it's tax deductible. A portion of your contribution goes to Us Against Alzheimer's, which is a wonderful organization, and they are, you know, their mandate is to find a cure by 2020. So we're really excited to be able to help that mission, and it's 100% tax deductible, and we would really appreciate it. It will help us get this music out to get the movie out to as many people as we can. So really, really appreciate that.
What a great goal to end this by 2020. I love that.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, we just lost Gene Wilder, who's the same age as my mother.
Yes, that's right. I was thinking of that. I forgot to mention that. It was Alzheimer's also.
It was.
And he hit it.
And I had the great fortune of working with Peter Falk on Columbo.
Oh, yes, yes. We saw you in that. I'm a huge fan. I've had his daughter on the show, and I was actually writing a Columbo that we were planning to do with him, a new one, and when he started to get his issues where he wasn't remembering things, and he got to a point he didn't even know who Columbo was at the end.
Yeah.
It's just sad. And what a lovely, lovely, lovely man. I adored him, and we had a special bond. I loved him so much, and he had Alzheimer's before my mother did, and and he lived with it for a very long time as well. So I just hope that we can find a cure for this. I think we're very close. So, you know, whatever platform we can, you know, use to bang the drum, let's do it. And all the help is welcome. All help.
And by the way, go ahead, Dawn.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, in the meantime, until there is a cure, hopefully, you know, our film can at least help people navigate. because so many people are touched by it, it's unbelievable. So that's what we hope we can do in the meantime.
Yeah, I see the film being shown by people that are involved in the Alzheimer cause, be they organizations dealing with it, health organizations, you know, teachers that are talking about it. I see it being one of those films that will show and have a life, you know, like an evergreen tree. Almost like years ago, there was a TV film that Dick Van Dyke did about alcoholism, and it was before people were talking that much about recovery and getting sober and things. And that thing went all over. I had an uncle that saw it in a rehab, you know. But because it dealt so well with the issue, it was shown in all kind of institutions and, you know, places. So I see that with this film that, you know, this is something that has touched a lot of people. But this is a great tool that can also be used to, you know, bring some understanding and compassion to people dealing with it. So I think this will screen, you know, in the theaters and festivals and everything. But I also see it in many other organizations and institutions that, you know, just a film about nothing would never go into these places.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So. I thank you so much. And I think I have to just, you know, shout out to our amazing Valerie Harper, because she is such a conduit to everybody. She just resonates, and whatever she does is just so impeccable and so heartfelt and authentic. So I think that, you know, we were so blessed to have that kind of artist attached to this project and able to help us with this, because I really think, you know, all the pieces came together, and she obviously was one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle to make this the project that it is.
Yes, and I know a lot of you listening have been praying for her and concerned about her, and I have to say I was so happy, you know, she was so vibrant and so alive and so wonderful, and I got to, you know, talk a little bit before with her and her husband, and she is just defying all those bad prognoses. You know, she looked and was great, wasn't she?
It's remarkable. Set.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sue.
Go ahead, Don.
No, I was going to say, on the set, her energy and her attitude were just, we could not believe, because it was a hard shoot. It was four straight days and nights, and she was unbelievable to work with, and as was the rest of our cast, and her and Liz together.
All of them were.
Our casting crew were amazing.
our casting crew, Chris Tufte, who's an amazing cinematographer, just literally he read the script and cried and said, I'm in. And I was like, thank you, God, because we just had such wonderful talent and such wonderful pathos attached to the project. And like Dawn said, Valerie, it would be like 10 o'clock at night, and we'd say, should we wrap? And she'd say, hell no. Come on, let's finish this up.
Wow, what a trooper. What a trooper.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How about a final word from you both on just, you know, any final thoughts or how people can best keep up with you now on the project going forward?
Oh, well,
Susan.
I'm trying to, you know, service the social media flurry that's out. It's so hard for me. There's so much to do, but I am trying to keep up with the Instagramming and tweeting, and our Facebook is up to date as best as it can be, but I will keep posting as much as possible to let you know where we're at, what's happening with the festivals, and, you know, any kind of progress. Please like us on Facebook, My Mom and the Girl. Follow us on Twitter at My Mom and the Girl, and Instagram, My Mom, hashtag My Mom and the Girl. And you know, spread the word. There's a lot of people I know we're touching. I've had so much response from people saying, this is my mother's story, and they've only seen the trailer. You know, I was interviewed by Tommy Schnurmacher, who's one of the leading talk show hosts in Montreal, from a woman who our trailer touched so much. It basically, she said, you're my doppelganger. You have no idea. You've told my story. So
wow.
I know this is a powerful tool. And so please follow us, spread the word. It's for us, it's obviously not there's nothing, we're not going to make money off of this. This is all comes from the heart. And it's one of those times that, we can do something important, and we have the power to do that. So, but it takes a village. So be a part of our
Absolutely.
Village.
Yes, please, and go to Indiegogo.com. My Mom and the Girl Take Two, and anything, any contribution is welcome, and you can hopefully be a part of of spreading the word for us. We'd love that. So, and thank you,
and
Richard
Ross, Ricky Rossi, you are the best. Richard Rossi, you're a godsend. Thank you.
Oh, well, you two are, I appreciate that very much, and you two are quite a team. I love seeing, maybe synergism's the best word for it, but I love to see that synergism with people, because when you don't have a big budget thing, like you say, that you have all this money and you have to go ask for money, it's the synergism that is worth the $1 million, the way that you two and the team and the cast and crew and the whole company of My Mom and the Girl, when all those gifts come together, I think synergism means there's something greater in the totality of all these gifts and talents than just adding them up. There's some sort of spark of creativity and collaboration and love. And everybody in that theater at the cast and crew screening, everybody felt that love from, the celebrities I talked with afterwards, Don Wells and, Ed Asner and all these people that were just glowing with response, to the people that just weren't sure and just a friend invited them. Everybody was touched by it. It was it's something that just doesn't happen with a movie that's made just to make a quick buck. It was a whole different feeling.
I'm totally
blanking
the name. Oh, Charlotte, I just want to throw out Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett from Facts of Life was there.
Wow.
She's all of four feet tall, and I think she's 90 years old, and she, what a powerhouse as well. She showed up, and she was, I think she's friends with Valerie, and said, I need to talk to the director, and she came up to me, said, I smiled again, I laughed, I smiled, I cried, and then I smiled. This is terrific.
Oh, well, what an endorsement. She's a real legend and a real great, great to have these kind of people. When people of that caliber praise your work, you've got to feel pretty damn good about yourself, I think.
I think so.
We do.
I think so. We do, Richard. And I think, sometimes you work really hard in a vacuum, and you don't have the opportunity to get that kind of feedback. So I have to say it feels good. Dawn and I felt, you know, it feels very nice. Doesn't hurt.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We're so so grateful to see this come to pass. And you got her done pretty quick, I thought. I mean, I'll be honest with a lot of friends of mine that raised the Indiegogo. You know, it's 3 years later, and where's the film? But you guys got her done pretty quick.
It was fast. Very quick turnaround, and there's only one reason for that, and she's on the other line here. I'm talking to her. Susie is, boy, is she a slave driver, but.
If she wasn't so cute, I don't know if she'd get away with it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, she can beat me up, so I have to listen to her. So.
Well, thanks again, and everybody, and have a great rest of the day. We'll be sharing this link to the show to get more support, and I'm so grateful you all came on today.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Liz Torres says hello. I don't know where she is. She was going to be here. I'm sure she is wishing you the best and thanking you as well. And, you know, hopefully we'll be back with some more great news, and you'll have us back on in the future. It'll be so much fun.
Yeah, we'll have you in for phase three. I'm not sure what phase three might be, maybe translating this into other languages and dubbing, getting the subs and the dubs done, the subtitles and the dubbing or something. we'll figure out a phase three. What do you think?
Sounds
good. All right. Have
okay, God bless you both. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Richard. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And all of you listening, we've ran out of time, just going a moment over, but I want to just wrap up by saying you can see this film next week, as Susie said, at the L.A. Shorts Festival. Visit LAShortsFest.com, and I think you'll probably click a link, maybe film program, and look for My Mom and the Girl. And it's at the Regal Theater down in Los Angeles, I believe, Susie said. And that's a theater that has been very, very good in showcasing films and film festivals. And take my word for it, take my wife's word for it, take all the wonderful stars that saw the initial screenings' word for it, and go see this film at the LA Shorts Festival. Thank you for joining us, and those of you listening that have a parent suffering from this, we send our love and prayers, and I think this film will give you some strength to keep moving forward, and let's find a cure by 2020 for Alzheimer's. God bless you. Go with God and be blessed. Thanks for tuning in once again.